Ash Brown joins us for the next little part of the show. Welcome, Ash.
Hello, boys. Good to be with you once again. Welcome back, Scoop.
Thank you, Ash. You spent any time with the tennis? Or
went there yesterday, actually. Wanted into wander around Melbourne Park. And I have to say, I mean, it's such a wonderful event, but it was really... And this is the year, with all the facilities open, this was the year we were supposed to see it with all its bells and whistles. But I thought it was a bit flat yesterday, understandably so, with crowds down to half, you know, half capacity. It just seemed like it was a bit all dressed up with no place to go. It was very sedate and, you know, a bit sad, really, because it's such a... It's usually an event that signals Melbourne back in business for another year. It's the start of the year for everybody. But it was quieter than usual, a bit sad.
So the crowds are half rat power, and it sounds like the rats are half rat power as well.
Getting tested
every second or third day. And it's quite an amazing...
Not sure why we're testing people.
Australian Open, when you consider it's now become, even into day three or four, it's like a football season where the journos are looking for down stories, negative stories, rather than positive stories.
I beg your pardon.
Well,
that was it. It felt like a clip at all journos.
You don't have to beg your pardon. I mean, that's the reality of life in the football world. If it bleeds, it leads. Is that not right? And it's like today we saw. And this isn't, I guess, the journo's fault. All the stories have to be there. But we saw one of the Frenchmen come out and say he doesn't think they're tested enough. And he's got it.
Well, it's everywhere you look. I mean, I went to the media centre yesterday. As I said, I couldn't go walk past the door till I'd done a test. And you have to wear an N95 mask wherever you go, pretty much in that part of the facility. So it's just ever-present. It is hovering over everything to do with the tournament. It's interesting, you know, we're missing a couple of big names. You have no Federer and no Djokovic now. You sort of, as much as you want fresh faces, Jared, we like talking about the ones we know. And when they're not here, it's a little bit missing. So it's getting to know some of the next generation players, I suppose. And so today was a nice story. Barty is going to be the one, obviously. And if she's heading for a semi-final, possibly against Osaka, that'll be the biggest match of the tournament sort of next week. And we're curious tonight. So it's a bit happening, but it's lacking a bit of the spark of previous years.
I think it's lacking star power, but I think if we had young stars coming through, that would be fine. But at this stage, I think the younger stars haven't really shown that they've got the star power. And I'm not talking about Zverev and Tsitsipas and their like. I'm talking about the next level, the second and third and fourth year players. I'm not sure anybody's lighting it up down there.
No, that's right. But again, it would seem to be a wider field than usual. So maybe somebody will come through and we'll get to know them over the next couple of days. And you know, like a lot of things, the Australian Open gets really juicy. I mean, as I said, tonight's going to be a load of fun with the Kyrgios playing. But the Australian Open sort of starts to take shape on the middle weekend as we get to third or fourth round into the quarterfinals. We'll see which of the stars are the next gen are ready to go.
The crowds have been better, Jared.
Have they?
Yeah. I mean, there was more people there again today. I don't know if it was nicer weather or whatnot, but there were more people there today than I thought there would be.
Right. How many does that mean?
And the 50% stadium stuff is confusing me.
Yeah.
Because...
tickets are already sold, aren't being re...
What was the name of the...
Turned.
The Sydney guy that won today? Chris O'Connell.
Yeah.
He beat Diego Schwartzman over at Court 3.
Yeah, well, Court 3 is the freebie, isn't it?
Yep.
So they all flock in there.
Yeah, but when they did the camera pan around the stadium, it wasn't a spare seat.
Well, this is the nonsense of the whole thing.
It was full.
This is the nonsense of...
It's supposed to be 50%.
50%. Why are we at 50% if you can have a jam-packed stadium?
Well, it's just easier for the optics. You just tell everyone 50%.
I see. So it's just a PR campaign, is it?
Jared, as we said at the start of this pandemic, let alone 2.5 years in.
Okay.
A lot of this is about politics.
50%.
As much as it's about health, isn't it?
Well, I find it amazing that you can have 50%.
I mean, the hospital rates are steady.
Cap.
Yeah.
And yet you can have 100% in a stadium.
Wow, this is the lunacy of the whole thing.
That does not make sense.
And the 50% sends a message to people before the tournament: don't come. So I feel for Tennis Australia in that aspect.
Don't sit on the fence here, Ash. You got a thought on this?
Well, it's bizarre because the show courts, which are the ones going across the world, I sat on Centre Court and Margaret Court Arena for times yesterday.
Yeah.
It was really flat. I mean, huge banks of seats not being occupied. And as Sam says, then you've got the other side of it where people are cramming into the outside courts. It all looks very strange. So the image is going around the world will be people will be talking about this Australian Open for a very long time. But Djokovic into the small crowds on the show courts, which are the one, these are the matches that get beamed around the world. It's a very, very strange Open. The debrief and the post-mortem, both within Tennis Australia and outside Tennis Australia, is going to be really interesting as to what they did this year.
You are the master of the press release. How did you rate Tennis Australia's nondescript press release?
Yeah, it was. It didn't reveal too much. I don't think it's what they're really thinking. No mention of Craig Tolley, referred to as the CEO.
Okay.
How they position him is really interesting as well, because he made his first appearance today. After, I mean, usually he's very ever present. I mean, he made his first appearance today to make a presentation to Sam Stosur. What I've read, he was. There were a few boos for him when he appeared on the court.
Mm.
So yeah, they're just going to manage him through it. I mean, this is a big story, Joe. This is the story that they've got to get through the tournament with the people they've got in place, the board and
the
management. This story will grow legs in the days and weeks after the tournament.
Interesting. Sports Minister Colbeck has weighed in a number of times. One on Kelly Slater,
Colbeck, who's the federal sports minister,
and the other one basically was a major clip to Tennis Australia a couple of days ago. Mm.
Yeah, well, Kelly Slater's the next one, isn't it? Well, now this is your world, Jared, the surfing.
Well, we declared this about 5 weeks ago when no one was interested in this story, but all of a sudden they've joined the dots, and Kelly Slater is the next dot.
But he's the opposite of Novak in this sense. Like, I mean, Kelly Slater is universally loved, really, isn't he?
Yeah, but
Novak's universally disliked.
His vaccine views are strong.
I know that.
And his vaccine views aren't universally loved.
I know, but the hatred towards him is nowhere near the level that it was.
Well, he's got no hatred. I mean, he's one of the all-time most popular sporting people in the world.
But it just tells you a little bit about perception, though, doesn't it? I mean, Kelly Slater's going to, you know this 50 times better than me, Joe, but I assume he's going to go down as one of the greatest surfers of all time.
Well, the greatest ever.
If not the.
I think he's got 11.
And Novak is the same level at tennis.
Yeah.
And yet, they both have strong anti-vax views. Well, sorry, I'll stop that. Kelly Slater has strong anti-vax views. Novak is strong about not telling people what his views are. And yet, you know, one we get all up in arms about with Novak. Yeah, and Kelly.
No, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right at all. I think the reason why people are up in arms wasn't so much that they didn't like Novak. Everybody's got their view on Novak. I'm not one of those, but I was up in arms about the way he got here.
No doubt.
And the way he got here felt like we were being told one thing and another thing was happening behind the scenes.
All right, more Ash Brown coming up. Ash, I want to ask you about Collingwood and Jordan Ngoi and get your views on a few footy predictions when we come back. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, Canstar's most trusted energy retailer. And for Wilson Homes, you can enjoy the Tassie summer in your brand new Wilson home. Ash Brown is with us. Ash, the Jordan Ngoi court trial adjourned again. Where do you see this?
Only till January the 28th.
Yeah, I know. Where do you see this finishing, Ash, if you had to get out the Ash Brown crystal ball?
Well, interesting to read some commentary about it, saying that, you know, he'd be back at Collingwood as soon as, you know, as soon as it's finished.
No, next week.
My understanding was that the AFL and the club still have to weigh in what they thought of the whole situation and whether he's facing some sort of suspension.
Well, the AFL certainly do. And that's a good point. Don't discount the AFL dipping their toes into this.
Well, they may dip their toes in, but the bloke who is leading the Hound Award for 2022.
Mitch Cleary?
Mitch Cleary came on last night and said he'd be back at training.
He's well in front.
On Monday night.
Yeah.
So I assume he's going he wouldn't be doing that without the official stamp from Gill.
No, I don't know if that's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a hound challenge.
No. I'm just not about Mitch's information. I'm not sure that the AFL have had their say yet, would be my suggestion.
Well, I said he would only be doing that with the tick off from the AFL.
I don't know if that's true.
So you're going to turn up without the tick?
Yep.
Okay. And then the AFL are going to what?
Well, I think the AFL will eventually have their say.
Okay.
And I wouldn't be surprised if...
A couple of weeks?
No, I would think that... I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with the court case.
Well, I think we do know what's going to happen with the court case.
What is going to happen?
Well, the judge has basically told him, go away, come back with a couple of community service orders that we can stamp on your papers.
Mm.
And if we're happy with those, we'll let you off with a violation that will be described as a violation.
Do you think that...
A misdemeanor rather than forceful touching.
Do you think that Jordan De Goey has brought the game into disrepute?
Well, initially it looked like he had, but when it's always brought into disrepute if you get locked up in a New York jail.
Yeah.
So then it's a question of, okay, what you get locked up for, and then
to what level did he?
And yeah. And what are we? What punishment fits the crime? So he's brought it into disrepute. So do a lot of people, but whether or not it constitutes missing a match, Ashley, is depends on how much the AFL thinks the original charge was watered down to what is really just a slap on the wrist.
Yeah, the New York legal system is doing the dirty work for the AFL, aren't they? Just
no doubt.
They'll decide what the ultimate crime was, and the AFL can act according to that. So I agree with you, Jody. He's brought the game into disrepute, and maybe the AFL's stance is, well, he can train, but you know the suspension, if there is, I won't kick him till round one. But there's no reason why he can't at least train.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he plays round one, but I reckon it might be a 2 week or something like okay. that. But I can't imagine it'll be a long term suspension. But I think the AFL has to do something. They've got to take some sort of action, so I reckon it'll be a suspension of some sort, but not a large one.
Yeah, I don't like going against Ash, but I'm of the view, Jared, that if the AFL do intervene, it'll either be 0 weeks or it'll be long term,
like four.
No, like long term.
Long term. Yeah, I don't know if you can get long term if you've only got a community order. I think that would then. Be out of kilter with what ultimately he's been found guilty of.
Yeah, but the suspension might be for the pattern of behaviour.
It could be.
We'll watch. Ash, who's, speaking of watching, who's, and I might get Jared, you to answer this, who's your biggest watch this year? Like, it could be for any reason. What's the most interesting club story for you, Ash, going into this year?
Yeah, good question. I think Carlton's the big watch this year because it's all lined up for them to do well. Bossy, the experienced coach coming in, having learned the lessons from the first time around at Brisbane. I think Carlton's a very big watch this year. I think that St Kilda's another one that that is a bit of a watch. They've been teased for a couple of years. A suspicion down there that they weren't fit enough last year, and they're working much harder with the new fitness guy this year. So they're two clubs. The thing about St Kilda is now the expectation for them grows because of what Melbourne did. People can...
Yep.
Now compare the two and say, well, if no one could do it from where they did, St Kilda's in a similar situation, why can't they? So Carlton and St Kilda are two clubs that absolutely fascinate me going into the season.
Yeah, I think there's always more than one really big watch, and I agree with Ashley.
Can I guess yours?
I got five written down.
Is one of them the Gold Coast Suns?
No.
Ah.
No, not at all. I don't think they're much of a watch at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Can they make the eight?
No.
You thought they could make the eight last year.
I did. Yeah. No, I didn't think I.
No, early no, before no. they turned it.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't think I could ever make the eight.
Huh.
I've got Carlton, St Kilda, for the same reasons as you, Ash. Richmond, I think, is a really interesting watch, particularly with a 34-year-old being recruited as a fullback.
Yep,
I think that's a good move.
Robbie Tarrant.
I think the Giants are an interesting watch. Mm. I think Brisbane are an interesting watch.
Yeah,
I mean Brisbane are age profile. Ready to roll, getting a couple of blokes back from ACLs. Interesting move, I'm told, is going to be experimented with, and you can take that to the bank, it'll happen, that the great Zorko is going to ply his trade on the halfback line, which will be interesting in its own right. Add some more youth into that middle, probably 50-50 Lyon and Neil out of the forward pocket. So I think that they've got a lot of upside. They need to sort of settle their ruck division down. And they need a little bit of luck with injury. But I like the Brisbane Lions, where they're situated. And I think Sydney's a watch too. Jordan Dawson's going to be a big loss. So they've lost Lira and Jordan Dawson out of their back line in the last 2 years.
Yep.
So
Brisbane need to do something different, don't they? Because they've the same recipe for the last 3 years. I know they lost Rayner and Hipwood before the finals last year. But they need to do something a little bit different because what they've done, they've had great home away season and floundered badly. They've lost home finals, Jared, and that's what's been the really hard thing for them to start. It's all been set up for them. So, yeah, I think they're a watch as well.
Port Adelaide's
Coast,
a watch
I
too.
I don't agree about Gold Coast. They're a watch later in the season off the field because all those contracts start to come. Ben King is a huge story this year.
Yep.
The movement, Ben King will be the domino. He stays, I reckon the rest of them stay. If he goes, then it's last man out the door.
Maybe it's not who. So, maybe we shouldn't be looking at who stays. We should be looking at who's coming. because if who's coming is the right name, it may prevent all those blokes going.
To Gold Coast.
To Gold Coast.
Yeah.
So if they're going to make that announcement, they need to make that announcement mid-season.
Have they landed a big fish to Gold Coast since Gary Ablett? And I'm not talking just Gary Ablett. There's no one's as big as him. But have they landed like a genuinely good player from another club since Gary Ablett?
I think the answer to that's no. They've lost some. I mean, the skipper has been outstanding, but he wasn't a big fish when they recruited him from the Pies. But they've
had some handy players. They've had Jared Lyons. They couldn't keep him. Brand Nelson is okay.
Well, they could have kept him. They tipped him out,
and they stuffed up with Greenwood, who was a really important player.
Yeah, but they're only, you know, they're also runs in comparison to Gary Ablett. They're not big fish.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I wonder if they ever got close
to what?
Well, to landing a good player that we just never heard of. Because you're right, Jared. Like, flip the script a bit. That's actually what we need to start talking about, and that's what the Gold Coast need to sell their other players.
Well, the trouble is they can't scoop land a big fish because their salary cap doesn't allow them. Because they're paying small fish way too much money.
Yeah, well, you can fix that.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Well, I assume that Wayne Campbell and Craig Cameron are doing exactly that. Just before we let you go, Ash, the new holding the ball interpretation.
You didn't hear my view on this last night, did you, Scoop?
I did.
You did?
Yep.
Okay, good.
Ashley?
Yes, I'm... Well, it's... If it's not a rule change, an interpretation change, I just want to wait and see how it's umpired, because the problem with interpretations is that umpires see it differently, and that's where you get lack of consistency, and that's what infuriates supporters, because umpire A might interpret it differently to umpire C.
Well, that's what an umpire's coach is there for. I mean, you can't have that as an out forever. This is how you interpret, you lunatics. This is the way it's done.
That's easiest. That's all very well on paper, Jared, but it doesn't always work out that way in a game, in the white heat of a game.
Yeah, but people make mistakes. We know that. The question is, do they know they've made a mistake when they look at it? And Brad Scott, despite Scoop trying to stir me up, telling me that prior opportunity had been reduced, it hasn't. According to Brad, when I listened to that, what he actually said, the amount of prior opportunity you've got is exactly the same. But if you get pinged, you've got to get rid of it straight away. No 360s and no 720s, which I think most people would agree with.
So it's the same?
Well, it seems to be same to me.
Same, same, but different.
Same, same. Summer, summer, but slightly different. In that no 720s. Well, I don't know anybody in the world, in the free world at least, that thinks a 720 is actually a legitimate interpretation, and it was legitimate. They were told if the bloke's got his hands free, give him more time because he'd get rid of the ball and we won't have congestion. And that was nonsense because it made every other tight one look crap.
Ash, great to have you on. In a word, who wins the flag?
Oh, the flag.
Oh, the flag. Now you're asking me who wins the flag?
I'm on.
The Western Bulldogs.